You're listening to the Al Franken Show. I'm Catherine Lamford.
And I'm Al Franken. Joining us from the Center for American Progress is Larry C. Johnson. He's in Washington, D.C. He is a former undercover CIA agent. And, Larry, let me ask you this question. Are you nervous?
No.
Okay. This is, I find this so annoying. Michael Medved was on Larry King the other day, and he said, let's be honest about this. Mrs. Plain, Mrs. Wilson, had a desk job at Langley. She went back and forth every single day. What's your reaction when people say stupid stuff like that?
That's exactly it. How could somebody who claims to be so smart be so stupid about something so basic? It shows that he hasn't even spent... You know, here's a movie critic who hasn't spent time even watching a decent CIA movie.
Well, that's a whole other conversation, Larry.
You know, but, I mean, you know, he can't even do his real job right, much less be a commentator on this kind of stuff. So, you know, hacks like that, honest to God, I got to tell you, if we could line them up in a room, I got a group of my colleagues that are ready to get in there and show them what the true meaning of assault is.
Well, or maybe show them a little Abu Ghraib.
Yeah. Hey, put this back.
Gentlemen.
Sorry.
Abu Ghraib humor.
Well, here's a woman, Townsing?
Victoria Townsing.
Yeah. Listen to her. This is on NPR's Talk of the Nation.
If she's got a desk job at Langley, here's the thing. I guess that there are various times that she did brief people in the government. Well, if you see somebody with a desk job in Langley, there would be nothing in your brain cells, if you know government and you've been in that world, all these people have, that would send a message to you that this person was under deep cover. The CIA wouldn't give somebody who had deep cover a desk job in Langley, because that means they would have to travel back and forth to Langley, and they're seen in the halls of Langley.
Okay, now...
Wrong again, boys and girls. I mean, you know, this is unbelievable. And that's these kind of stupid comments by people like her is what really has enraged me and my colleagues and led us to write that letter that went to Congress.
For you, how linked is this also to just what seems to be the Bush administration's problems with the intelligence community? I mean, haven't they wanted to sort of go their own way and not use the existing framework and staffing?
Not only that, it looks like, if I didn't know better, I would think that the Bush administration somehow had links to the KGB because they've done more damage to the intelligence community than any foreign intelligence service has. I mean, it's not an isolated incident out in Valerie. Remember, a year ago, the Bush administration, prior to the convention, leaked the name
right,
of an operative, an Al-Qaeda operative that had been recovered that was providing critical intelligence. Remember, it was also John
right.
Bolton's office that went after Fulton Armstrong, and Fulton was a good friend of mine, too, out at CIA. Tried to get him fired, even though Bolton never met with Fulton, never talked to him. So this is not an isolated incident. This has been a consistent pattern across the board where they've tried to politicize the intelligence and then try to punish and intimidate intelligence officers who won't play ball.
Is it possible that Bolton is one of the other sources? Because Bolton, his portfolio at State was nonproliferation, which means weapons of mass destruction. Is it possible in those intercepts that he was monitoring Valerie?
I don't know if he was monitoring Valerie, but if I was Patrick Fitzgerald, I'd look at Bolton because he had a CIA officer assigned to his staff. And at the end of the day, there had to be someone in CIA who identified Valerie to these people. Because when they identified her as Valerie Plame, go back and think about it. Again, I knew her as Valerie P. So this notion that the cover was somehow of no importance or no relevance simply is not true. It was something that was taken very seriously, and just because you worked at a desk job didn't mean that you're working at sensitive affairs. I mean, fact of the matter is, Porter Goss works at a desk. Does that mean that his job is irrelevant?
Well, but he's an undercover. I mean, we know. You know.
But he used to be. That's
yes.
the point. He used to be. These guys know better, and that's why.
Haven't we heard from Porter Goss on this?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, remember, this is the guy who said that when he saw the blue dress in reference to the Clinton scandal, then he'd do something. You know, again, I thought that in and of itself revealed something that I thought was terribly troubling about having a man with those kind of views and that cavalier approach to protecting undercover officers in charge of the intelligence organization.
And of course, he was known when he was undercover as Porter G.
Yeah,
and that was very that was very effective in maintaining his.
While we still have you, what opinion, if any, do you have about the way we've not captured Bin Laden?
Well, if you don't make it a priority and coordinate all the U.S. government resources, then you're not going to be able to capture him. And I think at the end of the day, while he's not the mastermind in terms of planning operations, he is the spiritual inspiration. His vision is one that has had quite a bit of appeal among this narrow sect of Islamic extremists. And I think, you know, if you say you're going to get him, you've got to get him, because his approach to his followers is saying, see, God is on my side, because although the great Satan has vowed to get me, can't touch me.
Did we blow it in Afghanistan?
Oh, yeah. It's not a matter of my opinion. All you have to do is, there's a good book out right now called Not a Good Day to Die by Sean Naylor that details the Battle at Anaconda. And within that, there are some references to key personnel that were special operations that were being pulled out of Afghanistan and diverted to the planning on the war in Iraq. I know lots of military officers that were involved with getting shifted off duty from focusing on taking care of the terrorist threat that was in Afghanistan to having to plan the invasion of Iraq.
Okay, Larry, I'm afraid we're down to seconds. I'm hoping that we can have you back.
I'd be happy to come back.
All right.
Was Valerie, did you have to run a lot and stuff like that?
She was faster than me. She was 22. I was 30. I was married to a hot blonde, so I stayed away from her.
Okay. Hey, all right, Larry Gossett, thanks for your time.